With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Manchester City won some silverware. Norwich had a big win. And Arsenal fans had a very big win at Vicarage Road. Greetings, one and all. My name is Marcus. That guy's Pete.
Hello.
And that guy's Jimmy.
Hello.
We'll get to that in just a moment. We've got to talk about the cup final, you fool. There's a ruddy cup final. Have a bit of respect for it.
Have a bit of respect
for it. And those people at Carabao, okay?
Yep. Well, Pep Guardiola said that, didn't he, at the end? He said something about the cup being kind of like League One, and then he went, with all respect to the people from Carabao.
That's what he said.
Respect the energy drink. Yeah. Respect it.
I like to think if he was thanking people at the end, you know, I want to thank the players, all the good people at Carabao for putting on the tournament.
It really puts some pep in your step. And then they look to the camera and drinks a can.
Good.
Sport petrol. A drink you never see. A cup you all talk about for a drink you never see.
It looks like a power-up from a video game, doesn't it? I suppose all energy drinks do.
I've been drinking a lot of Boosts. Yeah. That is the working man's energy drink, I think.
Do you mean the chocolate bar?
59 pence.
Yeah, it's a liquefied version of the chocolate bar.
It's really thick and nutty.
That is very much up yours and my Strasser, to be fair.
Yes, exactly, yeah. We're the sweet tooth boys, aren't we?
We're the milkshake boys, although that does sound slightly misleading.
I drink your milkshake.
We should
call ourselves the Milkshake Boys. Can we get t-shirts made up? I would very much enjoy that.
You and Jim were to the Chip Shop Boys.
We're the Chip Shop Boys.
Yeah, there we are. Marvellous. We should go on a milkshake tour.
Yes. Lovely. Those weird kind of late night milkshake bars.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Milkshake and Biltong was your thing for a while, wasn't it?
It really was, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Eating a lot of biltong from carrier bags and drinking McDonald's milkshakes. When we used to record in Highgate in North London in my house, I used to instruct Marcus to pick me up a milkshake on the way.
It was a Big Mac meal and the drink was the chocolate milkshake.
Yes. Lovely.
Nice.
That's very true. And someone once sent you... Oh, should I say? No, bollocks. What? Someone once sent you some
biltong. Sent me biltong.
Bollocks? No. I could have sent you a pair of bollocks. Someone once sent you some biltong when...
No, it wasn't even biltong though. Wasn't it like generic meat?
It was mystery meat. Somebody sent me just a carrier bag of mystery meat. I ate it. I don't mind. I'm not proud.
It was Thai, if I remember rightly.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Brilliant. Love it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
More of that, please. Why were you really reticent to talk about a man or woman, probably a man, sending me a bag full of meat?
Like, well, you've just asked for more. Soliciting mystery meat. Like, because 3 minutes in.
Like, I'm in the pocket of big meat. I'd like to point out I'm not.
But you have big meat in your pocket, though.
I do.
People will find out the address and they'll start sending meat. That's what I was concerned of.
Send me your meat.
I tell you what, though. You remember, we don't get them so much now. Maybe right. Gmail's up their filter.
Okay.
Their spam. Their spamware.
Yeah.
But we used to get a lot of those generic emails, didn't we, from various companies. And there was a particular company that would say, hey, guys, why don't you mention this and blah, 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 blah. And then I think it was Luke who replied with your address saying, hi, such and such. Could you send as much beer as possible to this address? Because it was a beer company. But there we are.
Cool.
So, yes, Man City won. We move on to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Yes, Manchester City, they love that tournament.
Yeah, three in a row.
they do love that tournament.
I think that is an important part of that winning mentality, though, isn't it? Jose Mourinho always did love a little League Cup.
Yeah.
Because you got to breed that habit of winning. Mm. And that's what Man City do. So insane. Is it 8 domestic trophies from the last 9?
If you count the Community Shield, yes. Which Jose Mourinho certainly does.
I mean, if it's good enough for him.
Yeah, exactly.
But Pep was at pains to say, this isn't our cup, even though it is their cup.
It belongs to the good people of Carabao.
It is very much their cup. But he said, and then he said, oh, Liverpool won 4 in a row. It's like, yeah, but Pep, you've just won 3. Just say, yeah, it's our cup.
Yeah,
let me draw on it.
If you win 3 in a row, you should be able to, a bit like the World Cup, you keep that, and they have to redo the trophy.
I really felt for Jack Grealish. I know we always start every single Villa chat talking about Jack Grealish because he is the man everyone talks about with his calves, but he looked absolutely dejected. I know he's an Aston Villa fan. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the press sort of saying, "Oh, this is the end of Jack Grealish at Villa if they go down."
But
would he go down with them?
Yeah, well, that's true.
I think it would be insane for him to do that, wouldn't it? Mm, like, he's such a talented player.
Mm-hmm. It would be an art wrencher.
It'd be kind of Alan Smith at Leeds a little bit.
Yeah.
But maybe not quite as acrimonious as that.
No. I can't see Jack Grealish going to Birmingham City, shall we say.
Exactly, so. Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't Grealish's best performance. He wasn't good. But Villa themselves, though, they gave a good account of themselves, of course. I mean,
if you ship 2 goals, you're like, oh, this is going to be
Well, this is it.
It looked like it might have been a 6-0 in the FA Cup final sort of thing.
Yeah.
Watford suffered.
Yeah. But you get to talk about Watford in a minute, Jim.
But a great time to score a goal before half time. It was really useful. And they were in it until the final whistle. They hit the post and they were
I wonder for. Yes, you see, when Aston Villa are obviously an inferior side to Manchester City. That's painfully obvious. Everybody knows that. I wonder what's sort of better to happen if you lose 2 or 3-0, but you give a good account of yourself. You're not shamed like perhaps Watford were, of course, in that final, and you think, oh, we gave it our all, but you're beaten by a better side, or. You know, you hit the post in the last minute. Yes, against the run of play. Yes, Manchester City better. But that little carrot is just for the briefest of moments is just dangled. And of course, it wouldn't have been a winning goal. It would have perhaps taken it to extra time. Of course, they will have walked away thinking, oh, that was maybe an opportunity. I don't know, but I think Villa can hold their heads high. I mean, they have to very quickly now turn their attention to the league, of course. But going in, you know, to the last few minutes of that game. Trying to get an equaliser, even though it did look unlikely, despite the great save from Bravo.
They did well to get a foothold in the game at all.
Yes.
You know, they grew into it, and obviously it's always going to be a bit of a challenge.
Foothold is strong, Jim.
Well, all right, but you know, it was 2-1, and they, as you said, they hit the post late on. So
perhaps a toe hold.
A toe hold. Yeah. All right, why not? You know, some sort of very precarious hold.
They could see the hold, but they couldn't get to the hold.
Indeed, exactly. Yeah. I mean. The goal they scored, I mean, John Stones, it was a strange error. the way he fell over, it was, I don't know, it didn't look that much like a slip, or he sort of turned his body. It did look quite calamitous. In fact, when he went down, I thought, oh, bloody hell, he's hurt. But of course, he got straight back up, and he's had a lot of criticism as well, people saying that could be his last season at Manchester
City.
He's
one of those players, a bit like Phil Jones almost, not as extreme as that, but it's almost like they glitch.
Yes.
Like a sort of video game character. And weird stuff like that just happens sometimes.
But it's a shame because Stones is a good centre-half. We've seen him put in good performances, but maybe lacking a little bit of confidence and so on. But they got themselves over the line. But it was nice to see Phil Foden start.
Yes.
He was glorious.
He had a real influence on the game as well, didn't he?
He did. That touch he had when in the first half, 20, 25 minutes in, something like that, when De Bruyne played a crossfield ball. And he just took it in his stride on his left foot. I mean, it was just beautiful. And I forget what happened straight after that. I don't think it led to a goal. But he was absolutely superb playing in that. Well, he was more on the sort of wing, but he's not even calling him a winger, would you? Although he could be in the masked winger at some point, because we know
that flexible.
Pete's very flexible with that, as are those who enter the clues. But Foden, there's talk from one or two journalists or suggestions that surely he's got to play in the Euros. Yes, I've already mentioned the Euros, ladies and gentlemen. Tick that box.
Don't curse it.
Or if the Euros,
happen.
But lots of Manchester City fans and lots of England fans will want to see a lot more of him, surely.
You would think, but it's a tough one to break into that England midfield at the moment, isn't it?
Man City fans want to see him playing for Manchester City, especially he's man of the match in a cup final, for crying out.
Absolutely, and I think as well, you know, barring... It's a strange situation for City in particular at the moment, because obviously you've got the European ban hanging over them, and also they're so far behind Liverpool that I suppose this is almost a bit of a free hit, isn't it, the rest of the season, that you can blood some players like that.
Yeah, we've only played 120 minutes since the 4th of January, which is not much at all.
No.
Gary Neville said that he thinks this could be Manchester City's best ever season. Now, that's very much hinges on whether they can win the Champions League or not, but...
That's a big one, though, isn't it? It's a big butt.
Yeah, it's an enormous one. but if they've won the League Cup, I mean, Guardiola, and I know that they can say, oh, well, it's only the League Cup. It's still a trophy, though. I mean, it is. I do feel a little bit... Miguel Delaney was on the Continent the other week and talking about his piece in The Independent. He wrote about the big clubs dominating the money in the game and so on. It's getting more ridiculous. It was an excellent piece. And Jonathan Wilson's written about this as well, of course, as have others. And I do feel like when Guardiola shakes Dean Smith's hand at the end and the way there's a little flicker of a smile. But as you say, Pete, when you were talking about what he said, it's a bit like, whereas if Dean Smith and the Villa boys had won that trophy, the celebrations, I mean, they probably would go down because they'd be drunk for the rest of the season.
I mean, Dean Smith looked like a bouncer at a wedding, didn't he? It was brilliant.
I know.
What kind of weddings do you go to?
You know about my family, Pete.
Yeah, I've never had a bouncer at a wedding before.
Well, less said about that, the better.
Got to keep Jim away from the DJ.
Put some Phil Collins on. just one Collins number.
What were we saying before we got distracted by Dean
Phil Smith? Foden, midfield.
Miguel Delaney.
Miguel Delaney, and so
he wouldn't get a starting berth in the Man City midfield.
Probably not. He does shoot on site. I've played five a side with him before. But Gary Neville saying it could be their best season ever. I mean, if they did finish the season with an FA Cup as well. And a Champions League trophy, it wouldn't be bad. Best season, I don't know. For me, you've always got to win the league.
If you win the Champions League, that is the target.
That is the missing piece.
If you've never done it before, then obviously that's a huge, huge thing, isn't it? And that is, you know, the idea of winning the league is normal to City now. Mm-hmm. Even a decade ago, maybe, however long ago it was when they won their first one, like that seemed like a dream, didn't it? Yeah. So it's like, that's become normal, very, very quickly.
Uh-huh.
So,
I listened to the greatest games on Saturday.
Oh, yes.
That very much. QPR against Man City.
That's right, yeah. From a QPR fan perspective.
It was really interesting.
A story that we've not heard. It was incredible.
Trying to get in on a junior ticket. Which I very much enjoyed.
Yeah, Flo was very very honest about that. I've only done it once myself before. Fortunately, I'd shaved that morning. But there we are. Good win for Man City nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a good win. But, one of the things Miguel talks about in that piece, and indeed that my friend was really frustrated about, my friend who supports Villa, is how he said you feel like you're coming up against a petro state, and obviously we've always known that is the case, but with the decision that's been made about the Champions League, it's almost like you forget that is the case, and we've just accepted it for a long time, and it is a little bit like, oh, I wish I wish this would stop.
Because we have
the playing field would get, you know, would be leveled out.
Because we love football, and that's, you know, we don't like thinking about the more disgraceful aspects of football and financial doping and all that stuff. It's just something we don't want to talk about. So, so in our heads, we go, it's just 11 men against 11 men, but some of the men are well better at what they're employed to do. Like 10 times better at least.
Indeed, indeed. Well, sometimes, of course, the underdog does win a game of football. We move on to the Premier League. Watford 3, Liverpool 0. Who would have thought?
Unbelievable.
The greatest result in Arsenal's season.
Yeah.
Probably the last few years. Honestly, the amount of Arsenal fans.
Oh, my God. Imagine how I feel. It's been embarrassing.
Wonderfully pathetic.
Yeah. I know some of them are playing up to it, but oh, God.
Jim. You enjoyed it.
No, I didn't.
You enjoyed Watford beating Liverpool.
I enjoyed Watford beating Liverpool because Watford beat Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that Arsenal remain the only unbeaten season team.
Yeah.
But I'd made my peace with it earlier. I've decided that if someone else does it, it doesn't mean that we didn't do it. So shut up, everyone.
Because you didn't do it at all. Yeah.
No, I didn't. I had nothing to do with it. I would have hindered it, if anything.
This was the match that I, a little while ago, I sort of said that I was taking a Japanese hotelier to.
Oh, yeah, you were at the game.
I was at the game. And a little while ago, like 2 years ago, stayed in a hotel, middle of nowhere, Sakata, nobody there. One horse town in Japan, North Sendai.
Why were you there? Just
fact-finding mission. I was in there, and the hotelier was, he's also like a community radio DJ, like a kind of like a community.
Oh, you went on
kind of
the, you went
so
on
I
the
went
show,
on his
you?
Show, and then we, and then he messaged me about a couple of months ago,
yeah.
Pete, can you get me West Ham Liverpool tickets? Can you get me West Ham Middlesbrough tickets?
West Ham,
and I was like, sorry, not West Ham, Watford Liverpool tickets. And I was
why
like,
that
and I was
you
like,
said West Ham Middlesbrough then.
And I said, well, because he's only here for a couple of weeks.
But why that game in particular?
Well, you'll see Minamino, you know. And so
he was maybe a keen Elton John fan.
Well, we're in the Elton John stand. So I managed to, I had to go through a million different little contacts that I half know, and, you know, I never do this ever. And I managed to get tickets. So I took him down there, and he really got in the spirit of things.
Oh,
you know,
that's
getting
lovely.
In the spirit of like Watford winning. But watching it first half, you know. Being a Newcastle fan and watching a lot of Newcastle, you go, oh, this is dirty. And then you actually see a good football team and how they operate. Liverpool weren't bad. They just got a bit bullied at the back, I think.
Yeah.
First half, watching Virgil van Dijk, it's like he's such an incredible footballer. Watching him kind of like control his back four, it's like he may as well have a joypad in his hands.
Yeah.
Because like he's just telling everyone what to do all the time. He never stops talking.
It's like they're on strings.
Yeah, and it was like a real pleasure to just watch, be able to just watch one player at a time and just watch Virgil van Dijk absolutely march his defence. Second half, all went to shit, but it was so much fun.
Oh man,
it was amazing.
Well, his task was made harder because Dejan Lovren started, and it was his first start. Was it since 7th of December?
Yeah, he needed a marshalling.
I reckon that Saar and Deeney were made aware of that at some point. You know, that's his foot, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I've never been to Vicarage Road, but I've heard that the Watford fans are generally very loud and it's a very good atmosphere. But it must have been mental, right?
No, it's great. It's fantastic. I mean, even the final whistle, like, because they were so far ahead.
Yeah.
The final whistle wasn't really so much of a because they'd only scored three flipping goals against Liverpool.
Yeah.
The leaders.
It was strange, wasn't it? I mean,
huge cojones.
Yeah. I mean, Liverpool's unbeaten Prem run is over after 44 matches. But that should be applauded. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, without
a
doubt.
Absolutely incredible.
But it went down with a bit of a whimper, I thought.
A little bit, yeah.
Mo Salah was slipping all over the place. He just needs longer studs or something, but he just looked really ordinary.
It was surprising in one sense, but when you look at a couple of their results, I mean, a few weeks ago when they went away to Norwich, and I know Norwich has beaten Leicester, we'll talk about that in a sec, but Liverpool did labour a little bit in that game. You know, Norwich would have felt disappointed they didn't get
something. Oh, it was on the cards, wasn't it?
Exactly. They lost to Atleti away, but, you know, 1-0 away to Atleti, that's, you know, fair enough. And they were given a big helping hand against West Ham. You know, people were surprised that West Ham got at them a bit. So I think it's, I mean, are we finally seeing them begin to tar? Is this a well overdue tiny little slump? Because the results I've just read off there, I mean, they won one of the games. They've got the second leg to come. Mm. Well, in fact, sorry, they won two of those games that I just mentioned. So it's terrible. But we saw this, you know, with Ferguson's United when they'd have those great seasons. They'd go away to Southampton and get whipped.
Yeah.
And then we'd come back and maybe they'd have I mean, it's barely a wobble. I mean, this is not a wobble because they've already won the league pretty much, you know.
Yeah, but I think it was just the physicality of Watford seemed to be too much for them, and maybe that is a result of a little bit of fatigue.
Could be fatigue, but also
I thought that is the main headline that obviously, you know, Deeney and obviously Sarr has got a couple of, but like and that was like the main story. But I thought they were quite cultured in their build up play, Watford. So, certainly in the first half they produced some beautiful stuff, and I think emotionally for Liverpool, De La Feo going off because he was such a big part of their kind of movement forwards, and it looked like horrible injuries in agony. I think that kind of lulled them a bit of a false sense of security, and then second half. They just hit him on the break and just got a lot of joy out of that.
Well, that's the thing that Watford have a lot of, isn't it? It's very very physical players but who are technically very, very good.
Yeah.
And when it clicks, they can be a nightmare to play against. I'm surprised that they had that little... They've had a slump after their mini resurgence. I think hopefully we'll see them have another little resurgence.
I was very much enjoying Foster's wonderful theatrical sort of, he'd catch it standing up and then dive on the
floor. Absolutely.
It was an absolute masterclass of time wasting at the end. It was wonderful.
Good old Benny Foster. There's some little rumour that Spurs were maybe going to get him in or something in a sort of number two capacity or something.
Makes
like
sense.
That.
It's very in vogue, isn't it? Getting like a pretty decent keeper to sit on the bench.
It is. But Watford, they deserved their win. And as you say, Jim, it's kind of like when you see some of their players and what they're capable of, it's surprising that they're down there.
Yeah.
Although it seems ridiculous, but Watford, they're up against Liverpool at home. Norwich are playing, I know it was the day before, Norwich are playing Leicester, West Ham are struggling, blah, blah, blah. If you beat Liverpool, you think to yourself, well, that's a great win, but all the other sides kind of had a win around them, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, West Ham, actually, I suppose you look at more from West Ham's point of view, they were much better, beat Southampton, and they think, right, Watford playing Liverpool, Norwich, you think, oh, come on, we haven't made any ground there, you know. But let's move on then to Norwich and Leicester. It was a big win for Norwich, especially considering that all the other sides down the bottom won. Jamal Lewis with a beauty.
Yeah,
with a beauty. Northern Ireland international, of course. He's already got about 12 international caps, but it was a great goal, lovely swerving volley. Mm. And the key thing, ladies and gentlemen, was Daniel Farker mentioned, you mentioned the topics a few times, but after they lost to Wolves, Farker said that they needed to improve their work on duels, which they clearly did against Leicester City. He said the most important stat was to win the duel rate today, and we won this. This was the key topic in order to get the 3 points. So that is the topic.
The key topic.
We now know the key topic is.
The primo topic.
It's all about the duels. Indeed, it's all about the duels. And if you beat them on the duels, then that is the topic that will topple Norwich City.
Yeah, I mean, they also had more shots on target.
That will help.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Emiliano Buendia was man of the match. He's been missing for a few games of late. He's a good player. He makes them tick. And, I mean, you know, Pukki had a couple of chances and so on, but it's a great win.
It is. It's a surprising one from Leicester as well, isn't it? They really are kind of...
Well, I mean, on another day, Leicester would have won that game. I mean, what did you think of the goal disallowed on Iheanacho? Brendan Rodgers seemed a bit annoyed. He was contained within his anger, but you could see...
He didn't get sent off.
He was just a bit like, really? Really?
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? But, I mean, it's hit his hand, but it's hit the Norwich defender's arm first.
Well, did you think it was a goal or not?
He gains an advantage from it, doesn't he?
Yeah, so, but do you think that's fair to disallow that?
I think it probably is, because he gets an advantage from it coming off his hand. And it is a strange one, because it's just the ball has fallen that way, but...
He gets an advantage off his hand.
Yeah.
If you're a defender, well, look at Tyrone Mings. He blocked a ball. He blocked a shot on goal with his arm. Now his body, yes, his arm was in line with his body and so on. But you could say he gained an advantage there.
Yeah.
Is having a body an advantage? Is the
usually,
question?
Usually,
I feel like the ball falling onto your fist like that and then falling into your path is like, it is one of those unfortunate quirks of the law, but so
if Mustafi does that in the box and it's a penalty against Arsenal, you're thinking, yeah, fair enough.
I'm just annoyed Mustafi's there. No, to be fair to him, he's been playing well recently. So do you seem quite aggressive about this, Marcus?
I
it's irking me.
Well, no, I just, um, I just, so
Firstly, let's take this outside afterwards. But secondly, do you?
Are you going to have your bouncer with you?
Are you quite clear that that's not a that should stand? Then
I thought it should have stood. I thought it was a goal. I stand with Brendy.
Oh, here we go. That's why.
The connection.
Do you know what he said? He said, "I thought we played all key."
I bet he did.
Don't you always? Don't you always? But we could win for Norwich. But yeah, it's getting interesting down the bottom. I mean, even Bournemouth.
It's a Newcastle drawing, which wasn't a bad draw on reflection, how they've been playing lately. But I was just like, is there some players climbing? There's some teams climbing out that bloody relegation draw, isn't there?
The team who's really got to watch out is Brighton. They've not won a game this year. They could be in serious trouble.
And they really should have won that game.
Yeah.
They really should have. But if you look down the bottom, I mean, Norwich, they get the odd win here and there. I mean, I think the rest of the teams are a bit like, hang on, West Ham, where did that come from?
We were kind of hoping...
that you'd just be really rubbish for the rest of it. Oh, by the way, that Sebastien Haller, Rabona, chipped through ball, he sort of played to Antonio, who went through and the keeper made a good save. Mm. Gutted that he didn't score, because it would have been one of the greatest assists of all time. It was absolutely glorious. But he's getting interesting down the bottom, as we say. And Aston Villa, having had the whole pomp and ceremony of a cup final, they're straight back in it and straight up against it with the other sides. Because down the bottom, I mean, even Bournemouth, I mean, they'll obviously, being 2-1 up, would have wanted to beat Chelsea.
Mm, yeah.
But it is getting particularly packed down there. And it's getting more difficult to predict who's going to go down. You would probably suggest Norwich just because of that points gap.
Yeah.
But even Hodgson, after their win against Brighton, was saying, well, you know, we're on, what are they, 36 points? And he said, you know, that's not safe yet. He said, our goal difference. But he said, I'll back the players and I think we're going to be okay. And you would expect Palace to be okay at this stage. But who are you worried for, chaps, at this moment in time?
Bournemouth.
It's Brighton, isn't it?
Bournemouth have got Liverpool next, which is probably 3 points for Bournemouth now.
Yes.
I think that's how it works.
Right.
I think they seem to be in free fall. And I think they...
But they're
looking
a point against Chelsea.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. But Chelsea have got their own problems, which I think might be, you know, partially responsible for that. And I think they look the least capable of putting a run together. I'd love to be proven wrong because I like Bournemouth. Well, in fact, I like all of the teams down there.
Who do you hate?
Who do I hate?
Spurs to go down?
Just the one. Yeah, just them.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's talk. Oh, go on, Jim.
No, I'm just looking at it. It really is. There are six teams that could go down. Well, Norwich are going down, but there are five teams that could come.
So you
come
think
with
Norwich
them.
Norwich are done.
Yeah, Norwich are toast, aren't they?
Even
they're,
though
they're 21 points.
But what if they get that key topic right with the duels in every game?
I don't think it's going to be enough.
I think they could have a chance. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's have a quick break, and after which we will talk about Tottenham Hotspur.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. And now it's time for emails with PDD.
Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Hello. It's time for emails. Paul Kilford, slip and a dink is the subject line. You're going to enjoy this, Marcus Speller. Greetings, Ramblers. I'm seeking your guidance on an important matter of interpretation. I've watched Jared Bowen's goal for West Ham a few times now, and I still can't decide whether it can safely be categorised as a slip and a dink, my favourite kind of goal. I'm not a West Ham fan, but I enjoyed it immensely. Nevertheless, there are a few things that are troubling me. Number one, whether the pass was too firm and threw too much open space to count as a slip. Does the fact that Bowen takes two touches disqualify it? Three, was there just a little bit too much on the shot? As always, your thoughts would be greatly appreciated. That's not always the case. Let's make that very clear. Yeah. Paul from New Zealand, kind regards. Enjoyable.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
Enjoyable.
I don't think you are very much the authority on the slip and the dink here.
I can completely agree. I don't think him taking a touch or two is fine. I don't think that's a problem.
I like the purism, though.
I
think a perfect dink has to be first time.
Yes, first touch, maybe.
No, touch out your feet and then dink, maybe. But I appreciate that if you take too many touches, if he sort of slipped through
the space between and then takes on
about two defenders, and then
it's a slip and a dink.
Yeah, exactly. A slip and an eventual dink. I totally get where you're coming from. What was his name?
I've gone on another email.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, Mr.
New Zealand,
Mr. Kiwi,
Paul Kilford,
man. Big Paul, Paulie K. I would say it was a dink. Was it a slip?
Yeah. Possibly not.
Why not?
Why not? Are you giving it?
Yeah. Should I?
You're at the dubious goals panel.
All right. It's definitely a dink. Mm. I'm a slip. Right. I'm not sure.
Well, thank you for your email, Paul. Luis Neves says, the Benfica Eagle story. Probably Neves, isn't it? Hi, Ramble Boys. Just want to clarify a little detail that was mentioned in the preview show last Friday. As Jim mentioned wrongly, I might add, Benfica did not buy an eagle. They actually have a really interesting story about lending their eagle.
Ooh.
Bit of context. Benfica has always had an eagle, Victoria, which means victory in English, obviously. And when playing at the home, the eagle goes for a tour of the stadium before landing in the middle of the pitch. Now, the funny story is that before 2010, Victoria's handle, Juan Barnabé, was actually fired for lending Benfica's eagle to other clubs for personal wealth.
Wow.
The most famous occasion was when he took Victoria to Lazio for the inaugural game of the season without asking Benfica. Then the second time, Lazio requested the eagle. Juan, being the dodgy man that he is, actually sent his brother with another eagle. the outcome, as expected, the eagle not being used to a full stadium in a different country, got scared and hid in the top part of the stadium.
Oh.
Sorry, Juan. Juan was, questioned by the Benfica staff, and after being rude to them, when questioned upon his business of lending to different clubs, got to the point where he physically threatened one of the staff. The thing that led to him being fired ultimately, though, was when he tried to offer the Brazilian club Flamengo, curiously now coached by the Benfica coach, Jorge Jesus.
Who the hell is this guy?
The services
of Victoria. Big for his boots.
Flamengo politely declined, saying that their mascot wasn't an eagle, but an urubu, which is actually quite more similar to a vulture.
Surely they should get a flamingo.
Yeah. I can report that Victoria is now in good hands with the new handler and happy. I didn't realise. So it's actually the property of the club then, presumably, not the handler.
What I find quite interesting, so he took it over to Rome for Lazio. How do you transport an eagle? Do you sort of explain the route and say,
we'll see you over there. We'll catch up with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm doing the paperwork for this. So you're going to have to make your own way there, Victoria.
Fake
Victoria.
Come tomorrow, because by then I'll be able to be set up and I'll be there with that little glove ready for you to
the
land
loan
on.
System is getting out of hand, isn't it? It's including eagles.
Chelsea
as well.
Have got so many birds of prey on loan. This also might be a funny note while still on topic. Benfica's rivals at Sporting actually at one point had a real-life lion as a mascot, which was presented in a cage. Lovely.
I'm not sure about that.
Finally for now, big fan of the show. CJ Dunn, living in Portland, Oregon. The show is part of my daily morning routine. I do have to make mention of your bird sounds in the last episode. A lot of people emailing about the bird sounds. They found it either delightful or horrifying. Although I found them quite entertaining, my dog was highly confused and was convinced that our apartment complex was being assaulted by the aforementioned shit pigeons. I encourage Pete's bird impressions, but please consider a preemptive warning for those with overly enthusiastic pops. Love the show. Cheers. CJ, can you send a picture of your dog to the Ramble?
Yes, please. Can we make that a thing? Can you all
Ramble,
do that, please?
Ramble dogs.
Yeah, because presumably a lot of dogs listen to the show by proxy.
Yeah, Ramble Daily Dogs.
Brilliant.
Cool. Indeed, yeah. Send them in.
There we are. Lovely old job. There
you go. Shopfootballrambledaily.com.
Indeed. Mm. We're doing an outro.
Do you want an outro?
Nah.
Yeah. Move on then.
Let's move on.
Cool.
Let's move on. How did we get on at Betway's four to score?
Oh, we didn't do very well. Yes, every week we are participating in four to score. Just to pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. On Friday, we had some pretty decent sort of plans, I thought. Sadio Mane, that's what Jim went for in the Watford-Liverpool match. Everton-Man United, I went for Fernandes.
Who did score?
Aston Villa versus Man City, Kevin De Bruyne, did not happen. And Spurs versus Wolves, he scored Raul Jimenez, but he was not the first.
At the end, at the death.
If there was an inverse Bizarro world, Betway fought a score.
We'd have still lost.
So the prize, this show's jackpot, is £25,000. Free to play. Get yourself to betway.com for that.
There we go.
And please gamble responsibly.
Indeed. Right, let's go back to the Premier League. It was a tale of two goalkeepers at Goodison Park. Everton 1, Manchester United 1, of course. Roy Keane was mad at both of them. Mm. David De Gea was like, oh.
You've seen keepers... Like kind of run that line so close, and it's very surprising when it happens. Yeah. It's like, whoa!
But you don't want to use up those errors because if the ball sort of drops through your hands or goes through your legs or something, obviously that happens once in a while. That's a really, really bad error. When you do something like that, you think that was so avoidable.
Yeah,
you meant to kick it away. You were just a tiny bit too slow, and you think that goes down as a glaring error. Mm. Whereas of course, if he doesn't do that, and then in maybe 6 months' time he drops one again, you think, oh. Whereas now, you've got to be perfect.
Well, even if it spun off his foot and didn't go on the net. It would be like, oh, that was close.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He wouldn't be criticised quite as much.
Exactly, he got away with that.
I think Calvert-Lewin deserves a lot of credit for even attempting that, though, because you see it all the time. You see strikers who could put a bit of pressure on a goalkeeper in that situation, and they don't. There's probably a reason for it in terms of conserving energy throughout a game or whatever, but they often look potentially vulnerable, and you might be sat in stands thinking, why not just give it a go? Just like get in the goalkeeper's head a little bit, like make them feel a bit uncomfortable and nervous. And they don't do it very often. And fair play to Calvert-Lewin because it was oddly quite a good finish for just sticking a leg out.
Ibrahimovic-esque, by the way, it went in. He looks like he comes across as a lovely lad, Calvert-Lewin. He does. Very lively, of course, and among the goals. Although I'm not. That last one when it was kind of like, oh, Calvert-Lewin was denied, that was an own goal. That would have been an own goal. Let's be very, very clear about that. But at the other end, for Bruno Fernandes' goal, Pickford might have done a bit better. It was a good hit, but Pickford would be slightly disappointed.
He's not had a great season, has he, Pickford?
He's not had a great season, no. I mean, Roy Keane said about him, I know he's not a good goalkeeper. I was like, okay. We said it before the game, he's not up to it. I don't care. He's not a good goalkeeper.
I don't care. What an odd phrase to throw in. Nobody interrupted him.
It's kind of like, Roy, you're being a bit harsh. I don't care. No, he just went, he's not a good goalkeeper. Yeah. I don't care.
I know what you're going to say, and I reject it out of hand.
Yeah.
He's like every single kind of bit of punditry he does, it's like he's having a breakup conversation. Yeah. He's like, I don't care.
It's like it's his last gig.
Yeah.
It'll be the last time I'm on television. I'm not holding back.
Like a real life heel.
Yeah. Well, Pickford, he did make a good double save late on.
Yeah, but.
The thing is, I still trust him in England colours. He just seems to raise his
game. He'd still be your number one. Yeah. I probably would have him as number one for England. Mm. Gareth Southgate was in attendance at Goodison Park, casting his beady eyes over affairs.
When you are the goalkeeper and you kind of put in a couple of shoddy performances in front of your national team manager, though, it kind of makes a fool out of him and nobody likes that. You're my main guy and you are not having a great season.
I mean, I suppose the double save, people would say, does it make up for it? I mean, but you know Pickford's got that slightly unconventional.
Unmentionable, unconventional.
Oddly fitting in a weird way. But I know what you mean. it is a slight concern, but at this stage, do you try and blood in another goalkeeper?
Probably not. I think there's value in keeping that consistency for the defenders as much as anything else. And, you know, and also, we mention it every time, but Pickford's distribution is very good. And Southgate likes that a lot, doesn't he? So I'd be surprised.
It hasn't been as good this season, apparently. I've not watched a lot of Everton or something, but they seem to not be quite over the moon. But I mean, look what David De Gea was doing in the event.
Well, yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah. Setting up strikers.
Stop doing that.
Calvert-Lewin's winner was controversially chalked off by VAR. Apparently, the replay was, I assume, accidentally showed in the stadium.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which really pissed off the home fans.
I was thinking about this. Imagine if you got like sent off thanks to VAR.
Yeah.
What if you just ran over and booted the screen as hard as you could? How cool would that be? Like, yeah, it's going to send me off, is it? Well, I'm going to kick this crap out of it. I'll just unplug the HDMI cable out of the back. Just
because if you
are... Decanio plus Ketz Bayer.
Yeah, but if you are...
Because like, what would you get? Like, it's not physical violence, so it wouldn't be like a court matter.
I don't think you can smash bits of the stadium and that's just fine.
Yeah, but like, I'm just... If you could introduce robots into the situation and technology, you'd have to beat the crap out of that.
I still think you'll get fine.
Oh yeah, you'll get in big trouble, but it'd be justice.
It would be good.
You make a good point, because I think people haven't cottoned on, because if they were sent off and they were really angry, they'd still like moan at the referee. Whereas clearly the referee would be like, I've been instructed to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, go over to the screen and just start smashing it. Because you're basically saying, you're lucky you're in Stockley Park, lads. Otherwise, that'd be your face.
Yeah, just follow the cable. Just follow the cable to Stockley Park.
Yeah.
Well, start kicking off.
It is a red card offence, isn't it, to attempt to enter VAR office.
Is it? What? Yeah. How does that work?
I think Stockley Park is 17 miles from the closest Premier League ground to it.
Which is in the ground. Which is
I'm not knows. Sure.
I love it.
Someone's at the door.
I like
the window just starts steaming up like Jurassic Park.
I like Pete's idea that Stockley Park with the VAR machines, they can't do it remotely. They have to have the cables running up the length of the country. Oh, dear.
But slightly going back to the game, annoyingly. Was it that controversial to rule that goal out? Like, if Sigurdsson's having a little sunbathe in front of David De Gea...
What was he doing?
It was odd.
Get up, you lazy sod. Yeah.
For the money you earn.
Yes, he shouldn't be sitting down.
You should be floating.
But it's true, though, like... He did sit there for a few seconds. Ian Wright was absolutely baffled, and rightly and correctly so, on the match of the day. But I did think to myself, like, again, why are you sitting there and watching it? Offside, take all the offside business out of it. Yeah. You're in your teammate's way. Like, you're making it harder for him to score.
I've been trying to figure this out, and he's a handsome man.
Yes.
Perhaps he was trying to pose for a new picture for like a dating app profile or something, just like looking sensuous, but also displaying that he's a professional footballer.
Right, okay, yeah. I'm just here at work.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
I'm going to sit down.
Yeah, indeed. Well, yeah, but you thought it was rightly...
I don't really think you can argue that he's not interfering with play, because he's obstructing De Gea, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's obstructing,
but he moved his legs, though.
Moved his legs out of the way.
Anyway, I'm surprised that Carlo Ancelotti got so heated about it.
Yeah, Carlo, what was that about? Do you think they thought, this is what the people want? People are really angry.
People want me to have, be a bit.
I'm going
to
go over there. Go right in the referee's face.
I am staying right here. No, you're not, pal.
Off you go. Do you think that the referee disrespected Carlo Ancelotti? Because he sort of said, go on, off you go, or something like that.
That's all right, isn't it?
I think Ancelotti was kind of quite aggressive and in his face, wasn't he? So he's within his rights to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe whoever they're playing, I don't know who Everton have got next, but it might be a really, really nice
stand.
Oh, right, okay.
It is Chelsea.
Yeah, because he said that if he's banned and he's not allowed on the touchline, he said, oh, don't worry, I know Stamford Bridge well, and the stands are right next to the dugout, so it won't make a difference.
communication. But he was already like smiling and laughing and joking, like regained his composure so quickly. Very cool customer.
He's won the Champions League. He's managed that glorious Milan side. What I like the thought of, though, is Ancelotti sitting behind the dugout and shouting instructions and them going, okay. But then if someone can like sit near him and do a good Ancelotti impression... bring on the sub goalkeeper. Is that you? Okay, fine.
It's going to have to be better than that one, isn't it?
Bring on.
Hello, I'm Carlo Ancelotti.
Hello. It was either that or
Arrivederci.
Oh, good old Carlo. Bruno Fernandes, he scored again for Manchester United. media impact he's had.
Yes.
As we thought. Apparently, I was reading somewhere that the training staff was said to be blown away by his superb fitness levels when he started training with the team. Mm. And I thought, I mean, he has been playing. Is that disrespectful to the Portuguese league?
Yeah.
I thought you were all lazy over there, like, yeah. just knocking it about. But no, apparently he can run a lot, which is rather impressive. His fellow countryman, big Nuno Espirito Santo, beat another one of his fellow countrymen, Jose Mourinho, of course, Wolves 3. Spurs 2, or Spurs 2, Wolves 3, as it would read, because Spurs were the home side. I love the fact that, and I always forget this, that Big Noon was Mourinho's reserve goalkeeper at Porto back in the day. And you know how annoyed Mourinho is.
Yeah, but it just doesn't bother him.
Mourinho, when asked about the result, he said it was unfair.
It's a new one, isn't it?
It's unfair.
Was it that unfair? He said his team are too nice and they need to be a little bit, you know. He got a bit of stick, didn't he, Maria? We'll talk about Wolves in a minute because they were great. Got a bit of stick for not bringing on Troy Parrott for the last sort of 15, 20 minutes. He brought him in on, it was injury time, it was about 2 or 3 minutes to go. The young Irishman.
Striker. He plays that position. Let him play the football.
I've got a theory on this.
Go on. Right.
Which is that Troy Parrott is obviously a very highly rated, very young player, despite sounding like a disgraced radio DJ from the 80s. And
I think like snooker player.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, very much
basically
so.
Just John Parrott. That's what
you're saying. Okay,
but Mourinho plays 4D chess, doesn't he?
Yes,
so he's probably thinking, Troy Parrott is a young player. It's going to take him a while to get up to speed to be a truly effective, a regular Premier League player. By the time that happens, I will not be managing Spurs. So by the time he's properly good, he might be playing against me. So I'm going to hinder this young man.
Am I getting a war chest by playing Troy Parrott and letting him score all the goals?
Oh, no.
No, I'm not.
No.
I'll play with no striker
instead. I will whinge for the rest of the season that I have no strikers.
That's his shtick, ladies and gentlemen. It was a great win for Wolves, obviously, coming from behind. Some lovely play. I mean, particularly that Raul Jimenez winner. Beautiful play. Diogo Jota.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's been talking about how brilliant he's been for good reason. But his little bit of trickery in the build-up to that goal, just beautiful.
It's
stuff.
Just delightful. When Wolves really turn it on, they are really, really lovely side to watch because they've got a bit of steel in there, most notably Traore. I mean, that when Tanganga sort of bounced off him.
Yeah, that was like when Tyson Fury got up in that Deontay Wilder match, the first one. Like, it was phenomenal.
It was. Traore, I'm not sure how bad the injury is, although he did have a shoulder injury and Santo was a little bit concerned about that. But he's really added end product to his game this season. I remember last season he was more of a substitute, and at times he has been this time round. But they've got options going forward, haven't they, Wolves? They've got a bit of pace in there. They've got a bit of trickery. They've got a bit of class. They've got a bit of extra something that somebody can produce something out of nothing. And with Jimenez up top, you know, he's a great provider of goals as well. He's a good target man at times. But when he gets the ball like that and just shuffles it onto his left foot and finishes so beautifully, it was absolutely glorious. And you do think about Wolves, you know, it's about consistency really with them. We still, you know, Luke's often talked about them as being absolute Hollywood, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
When the cameras are rolling, they tend to sort of turn it up. But if they can put away the smaller teams, I mean, it really could, if they can get into the Champions League, that club has been catapulted into a different stratosphere anyway in a quick amount of time. But my goodness.
Well, you know what? If you look at their next games, they've got Brighton next at home, which you'd think they would win.
But with this Wolves, will they fancy it? You know,
well, yeah. But then they're away to West Ham. Then they've got Bournemouth at home. They're away to Villa.
Flipping it. This is like the road to the Champions League,
right? So they've got Arsenal at home after that. You never know how that will go. Then they've got Sheffield United, Everton, Burnley, Palace, Chelsea. That's what
they shouldn't be fearful of anything.
No, that, exactly. That's the thing. If there is a slight kind of a dropping off of intensity in some of the smaller teams, Big Noon should be saying to his players there, look at this. The sides that we're playing next, we will be favourites for nearly all of those games. And if you pick up a majority of wins there, we can be playing Champions League football because they're turning it on in the Europa.
Yeah.
You know, they dispatched, was it Espanyol, you know, sort of fairly handedly. I mean, even in the Europa League, they could do something in that tournament. I understand, you know, Inter is still in there. Manchester United, although, you know, that would be a pretty good game, wouldn't it, if those two played each other? I mean, Sevilla in there and one or two others. But, I mean, they could go... I mean, they already are deep in that tournament. It really could be quite a hell of a season for old Wolvesies.
I think Traore is shoulder injuries is a big worry. I think he'll probably play it next week because he just seems to come every. I think he's dislocated three times a season.
Mm-hmm. He'll just pop it back in.
He'll just pop it back. He just seems to pop it back in every time. But it's just like he. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, it may be weight related, weights related rather. But he just keeps on popping it out, and he's going to have an operation this summer. But he should be back for the next match. But it's a worrying. If a player keeps on getting the same injury over and over and over again, there's going to be some serious ops happening in the summer.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Right, shall we mention Newcastle United, Peter?
We'll have a little mention. I mean, Steve, they played all right.
Steve Bruce, you know, ahead of his side's 0-0 draw with Burnley, apparently hinted at the team having tried out a different formation in training, moving away from a back five in order to score more goals.
The thing that gets
me
about Steve Bruce's narrative is that he's like he thinks that he didn't want to change the way that Rafa's team played after last season, a pretty spirited performance, but he wanted to take the shackles off and get them playing out, you know, get them scoring goals and get them out. You know.
It's certainly not an option.
But it's not really an option. but he's moved the player that cannot fail out to the left, and he's put Dwight Gayle in the centre, so Dwight Gayle can stay fit. To be honest, they played better than they played pretty much all season.
I mean,
still came away without anything.
Yeah.
Well,
they got a point.
A point against Burnley.
But to be fair to Brucey, Burnley have done okay, actually, especially recently with Vidra in there. They managed to contain him. But they did create a few chances. It was more attacking. It was a shame for Bruce and Newcastle, actually.
Yeah, it was. Because especially with the other results that are happening just below them. They've got a bit of a buffer.
I think they'll be okay. I do love the thought of Bruce saying, we're going to go away from Rafa's style, and then quickly realising, oh, that's why he did it. And then he goes, did we rub off the whiteboard? Is it still on there? Where are his plans?
Control Z. Control Z. Yeah. Undo, undo.
Oh, there we are. And before we go, perhaps we should leave the proper word, if you like, on today's podcast, to Sol Campbell.
One thing I've got to say, it lives on. It lives on. You know what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say.
Oh, we do.
You definitely know what I'm going to say.
Say it.
Invincibles, baby. Invincibles.
Invincibles, baby.
That's the one, man. Smooth. That's all I'm saying. Invincibles.
That's all he's saying.
Incredible. Hey.
The worst thing about that video is that he is sort of lying on it. It reminds me of me because I've got a really bad settee that's really small, too small for even my diminutive stature, and I have limited cushion capacity, and it's just quite an uncomfortable sofa. He's basically done the same thing. He looks like he's kind of like got his head on the corner of the sofa. Mm. No pillow, no nothing, yammering on about Invincibles, baby.
It's kind of... It feels like it's supposed to be seductive, but
yeah.
But all of his stuff, is like that.
Is this an extra, another level on like Arsenal TV or something?
Well,
late night. Basically, this is the kind of thing that if Arsenal fans were wanting to get their jollies late night, and it's like an Arsenal kind of babe station kind of vibe.
I think it's more like a car
like,
map.
Go on, say Invincible.
I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. Go on, Sol, say it.
ASMR, ASOLMR.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Jules and Andy are back tomorrow with some more glorious football chat.
And before we go, it is live, a new Patreon offering. patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Check it out. You're going to be excited at what's on offer. Weekly Ramble On podcast episodes featuring behind the scenes audio, the Spell of Time vlog, a weekly audio episode of the mailbag.
The mailbag is back, people.
And you can have a listen. Behind the scenes blogs, all kinds of stuff. Get on over to patreon.com/footballrambledaily. That's patreon.com/footballrambledaily.
Lovely old job. Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
And thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. Obviously, Jules and Andy are back tomorrow, and we'll be back soon enough as well. Laura Love.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.